Kinilach, a long time ago, there was a Yiddish town, and this Yiddish town was in a big land that was owned by a poritz. As we know, a poritz is like a king over his land. He lived in a castle, and he was a very rich man, a big millionaire. He owned the houses, and he owned the parks, and he owned the forests, and he owned the lakes, and he owned everything, and people had to pay him rent. People had to pay him money. And the king of the country, the big king, he usually let the poritzes, the pritzim, do whatever they want. As long as the poritz pays the king money once a year or whatever it was, and as long as the poritz does things that the king wants him to do, he says to the poritz, you could be like a little king over your land and do whatever you want. And the king would not misharayin in what the poritz did. So the poritz was a very powerful person. Sometimes the poritz was good, and he let the yidden keep Torah and mitzvahs, and go to shul, and daven, and do all the things that yidden do. But sometimes, kinalach, the poritz was not good. In this certain story, kinalach, there was a poritz who had a very bad temper. A bad temper means that he got very angry sometimes. And if he got very angry, he did terrible, terrible things. And sometimes, chas v'shalem, if a yid did not pay the rent on time to the poritz would send his soldiers and he would take away the yid, or he would even take away the yid's family and lock them up in the dungeon, which is a jail under his castle. And sometimes you didn't even see them again, Rahman al-Atslan, because the poritz would just leave them down there. And this poritz could be very, very mean and do terrible things, and the Yidden were afraid of him. Of course, they would daven to Hashem that everything should be okay, but the poritz was a very, very scary person to them. One time, kinalach, the poritz, he had a party, a big party in his house. He had a lot of guests, and they were drinking a lot, and they got very shikker. And when the poritz got shikker, watch out, that's when he sometimes got a very, very bad mood, and his temper started to get very not good, and he started to scream and yell. And sometimes after a party, for whatever reason, either he got so shikker and he didn't feel good, or sometimes he saw how much the party cost and he had to figure out ways to get money for more parties, he would make gzedis on the Yidden. He would tell the Yidden to pay him extra money, or he would go and put people in trouble that he didn't get people in trouble before, people that owed him money, he would go and put them in the jail or try to get the money, all kinds of things what he did. And this particular time, the poritz had a big party, and he was drinking a lot, and he got in a very bad mood, and all kinds of things happened to get him up very upset. And he came out with a new gzeda on the Yidden in the town, and he said to the Yidden have to pay me a whole big bag of gold. Let's say it was 1,000 pieces of gold, to pay for the party and to pay for more parties, or else I am going to throw every yid out of his house, and he has to leave, he has to go out in the snow, and I'm going to take everything out of their houses that they leave. And if they don't get out of their houses, and if they don't pay me the money, I'll send my soldiers, and Rahman al-Itzlan, I will do very not good to the Yidden. I didn't even want to say what the poritz wanted to do. In other words, they have to come up with a whole lot of money to pay for the poritz, which will be impossible for them because they were poor. Or else he's going to throw them out of their houses, out into the snow, and it's very difficult to find a new place to live. And that meant very dangerous for the Yidden. Or else, chas v'shalom, he's going to send his soldiers and do terrible things to the Yidden. Oi, what should we do? They went to the shul, they davened, they said Tehillim, They gave tzedakah, whatever tzedakah they could give. They thought of how they can get money together for the poorets, but of course they couldn't even get near 1,000 pieces of gold, and not even 100 pieces of gold, not even 25 pieces of gold, because they were poor. And they made a meeting also, what could we do? What could we do to help our situation? Maybe to help the poorets to change his mind, what could we do? And so they said, we have to pick somebody to go and speak to the poorets. Besides, of course, speaking to Hashem, which is the main thing, which we're doing, and connecting ourselves with Hashem, we have to maybe go and speak to the poorets, and maybe ask him, please, to be nicer to us. After all, we can't get so much money together. We're trying as best as we can just to pay our rent. And maybe he'll listen to us and calm down. Of course, maybe it'll make it worse if a Yid goes to his castle. He'll get very, very angry to see a Jew there. And besides, who wants to go? Who wants to go to speak to the pirates? He might lose himself and get in a very bad mood and just, who knows what he's going to do to the Yid who goes to his castle. Who should go? Nobody wanted to go. Well, Kinalach, they thought maybe the Rav should go. And the Rav was willing to go with Mesiras Nefesh, but they thought, listen, maybe somebody else should go. There was one rich man in the town who was the richest man in the town. Maybe he should go to the Paritz. They thought maybe, who knows, maybe he shouldn't go. He was afraid to go. There was the leader of the Yiddish part of the town called the mayor. Maybe he should go. He was also very afraid. There was a very strong man in the town. He could lift very heavy things and he used to schlep boxes and big things. Maybe he should go in case the poet starts up. At least he's strong. He can take care of himself. He was also afraid. He was shaking. He didn't want to go. All of a sudden, as they're in the middle of the meeting, trying to decide who should go, a wagon and horses pulled up outside of the shul, and they turned around, they saw all of a sudden, someone came into the shul. A very halakhic-looking yid, whom many of them never saw before, but one or two of them did see before, and they said, look who's coming into our shul. It is the Baal Shem Tov. That's the Baal Shem Tov. All of a sudden, the Baal Shem Tov came into the shul. Everyone stood up for the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov said to everybody, I know about the trouble you're in. I know what the Poritz is planning to do. But don't worry. I've come to help you to decide who should go to the Poritz. Now, who did you decide to send to the Poritz? It was quiet. Nobody said that they want to go to the Poritz. And somebody asked the Baal Shem Tov, maybe you could suggest who should go to the Poritz. Baal Shem Tov says, of course. I know exactly who should go to the Poritz. And, Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov said, where is Yankel the Malamed? Yankel who teaches the little Kinalach. Where is Yankel the Malamed? I know that in this town, there's a cheder of kids. They learn Torah. And the Rebbe of the Kinalach, his name is Yankel. Where is Yankel? Now, Yankel was standing off to the side because he wasn't the mayor and he wasn't the Rav and he wasn't the rich man, and he wasn't the strong man. He was the teacher of the Kinalach. All of a sudden, he heard the Baal Shem Tov say his name. Yankel the Malamed. He was so confused. Why is the Baal Shem Tov calling me? The Baal Shem Tov says, Yankel the Malamed, come here. You are the one that should go to the Paritz. The Kinalach, Yankel was not a big tzaddik, not a big Talmud Chochem. One thing Yankel knew, that the Baal Shem Tov was a halakhic tzaddik. And if he says you should do something, all he knows is that what he should do. I'm sorry. All he knows is that's what he should do. That much he knew about great tzaddikim. They say something, you should do it. But Yankel thought, why me? Who am I? And he said to the Baal Shem Tov, why me? I just teach the Kinderlach. I mean, why should I go to the Paritz? I mean, I'll go. I mean, you want me to go. You say I should go, I'll go. But how could I do something for the Paritz, a big Paritz like that? And the Baal Shem Tov says to Yankel, don't worry. You're the one that can help your whole town. Go, and Hashem will help you. Well, Kinderlach, Yankel was so surprised. And he left the shul. He goes home. He comes into his house. The first thing he says to his wife and his Kinderlach, goodbye, goodbye. And his wife and his Kinderlach says, you just came home. What do you mean you're saying goodbye? Usually a person comes home, he says hello. What are you saying goodbye? He just came in the house. No, I have to say goodbye. I'm going. I have to go now. I don't know when I'll come back. I don't know if I'll ever come back. What do you mean? The Kinderlach say to Tati, what do you mean, Tati? Where are you going that you won't come back? What's happening? I'm going to the castle of the Paritz. I'm going to the castle of the Paritz to speak to the Paritz. And Yankel's wife says, you? Why are you going to the castle of the Paritz? All of a sudden, you're going to go to the castle of the Paritz? Why? They said you should go? The Baal Shem Tov said I should go. All of a sudden, his wife said, oh, the Baal Shem Tov. Well, if he said you should go, you should go. But don't be afraid. After all, the Baal Shem Tov said that you should go. Hashem will help, right? Yeah, Hashem will help. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. Hashem will help. Okay. The Kinderlach said goodbye to Tati. His wife said goodbye to him. And now Yankel goes up the road, up the hill. At the top of the hill was a big castle with big stone walls, and there was guards by the gate. And Yankel, the Malamed of the Kinderlach, goes to the gate, and there's the guards. And the guards say, what's a Jew doing here at the Paritz's castle? Yankel says, I want to see the Paritz. I want to speak to the Paritz. You? Who are you? You're just a Jew. The Paritz doesn't want to see Jews in his castle. But I want to speak to the Paritz. It's important. Please let me in. They say, look, we might let you in, but if you go in and the Paritz doesn't want to see you, you're probably never going to get out of here alive. You better turn around now and go back if you know what's good for you. No, I have to go speak to the Paritz. I have to go. It's important. Well, they let Yankel pass the gate. He goes through the yard and he goes to the front door. He knocks on the front door. And the Paritz's servant came to the front door. What do you want? I want to see the Paritz. It's important. I must see the Paritz. Well, come in. But just know, it's not too smart for you to go to see the Paritz. He is in a very bad mood, you know. He's yelling and he's screaming and he's mean to everybody. He is in a very, very bad mood. Are you sure you want to see the Paritz in a very bad mood? Maybe I should go home. Maybe I'll come back another time. All of a sudden he remembered that the Baal Shem Tov said he should go. And one thing that Yankel the Malamed knows, that when you have a command from a tzaddik, it's like a command from Hashem. A tzaddik is close to Hashem. Now, when a tzaddik says something, or when Hashem says something to the Teda, to a person to do, the best way is to do it later, or the best way is to do it right away? The best way is to do it right away. The best way, Kinderlach, is to do something right away with Zrizus. Yankel knew that because he used to teach that to his Kinderlach. from Avram Avinu. Hashem told Avram Avinu to take Yitzchak to the Akedah. He didn't say when to take him. Avram could have taken him the next day, in 5 days, in 2 weeks, or in a year. Hashem never said when. But Avram did it early the next morning, right away. So the Baal Shem Tov didn't say when to go to the Paretz. Yankel, of course, right away thinks he should go right away. Why should he all of a sudden go back? No, I'm going to go into the Paretz now. Okay. They led Yankel into the Paretz's room. The Paretz was in the big dining room. And the servant said to the Paretz, "Someone is here to see you." The Paretz says, "I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I'm in a bad mood. Who's here to see me?" "It's a Jew." "A Jew? A Jew came to see me today? Oh, where is he? Let me look at him." And Yankel goes walking up to the Paretz. "What do you want?" the Paretz says to him. "What do you want to see me for? I want to see you." And Yankel says, "I have a very important thing to talk to the Paretz about." And before he could even open his mouth, the Paretz looked in his face. He looked at him. He just looked at him very, very closely. "Oh, you want to speak to me? You know what? We'll speak, but not now. And maybe never. In fact, I don't know if I want to speak to you now. I'll decide later. As for you, I have a good place for you to go wait." And he says to his guards, "Bring this Jew to the dungeon and throw him in the dungeon, in the last cell, in the deepest place, and lock him up. If I decide to talk to him, I'll talk to him. And if not, he'll stay there. That's a good place for this Jew." And the guards, before Yankel could even say one word, they took Yankel, they locked him up in chains, they took him through the big door in the basement, and they took him way down the steps, down, down, under the ground. You could feel how cold and damp it was. And they walked past different rooms that were all locked up, that were like the jail rooms of the dungeon, and they took him to the very last room in the dungeon, and they threw him in the room, and they locked him up. And that was it. It was cold, it was dark. There was hardly any light at all, except for maybe a little teeny bit of light coming through a little hole somewhere in the ceiling. And Yankel was just sitting there. "Oy, what happened to me? What happened to me? I couldn't even say a word. I couldn't do anything. He got angry. He looked at me. And he threw me in the dungeon. I don't know if I'll ever see my kinelach, my wife, my family. I don't know if I'll ever see my kinelach in the cheder again, or the shul, or the town. I don't know if I'll ever get out of here alive. Oh, what did I do? What happened to me?" All of a sudden, Yankel remembers, "Wait a minute, why did I come here in the first place? I decided myself to come here. No, I never would have come here myself. The Baal Shem Tov told me to come here." All of a sudden, he felt himself calm down. Not only calm down, he felt himself, he wasn't even scared anymore. One thing Yankel knew, being a Rebbe from Kindelach, a Malamed from Kindelach, when a person does what a tzaddik says, when a person does what Hashem commands, it doesn't matter what happens, because if you're doing the right thing, in the end, everything is going to be okay. Even at first, things go wrong, everything is going to be okay, because you're listening to Hashem. He knows from the Chumash what happened when Hashem said to Avram, "Go, lech lecha." And Avram listens to Hashem and he goes there, it's Canaan. What happened over there? All of a sudden, a few months later, is a hunger. Everything goes wrong. He's near Eretz Canaan. Yankel used to teach his kinelach this. And Lloyd said, "Look, everything is terrible. You come to Eretz Canaan, there's no food to eat. In all the other lands where there's getchkes, there's plenty of food to eat. Look, everything is terrible. Avram said, listen, Hashem said to come. We listened to Hashem. This is what he wanted us to do. Don't worry, everything's going to work out. We have to go down to Mitzrayim. They left for Mitzrayim. Parai took away Sarai to marry her. And Lot said, look, everything is going wrong. Parai took away my sister to marry her, your wife. What kind of a trouble? If you would have never listened to Hashem, everything would have been fine. If you would have never gone to Eretz Canaan, and you would have stayed where you were, everything would have been fine. Avram says, everything's going to be okay, don't worry about it. It looks hopeless, it looks terrible, don't worry. Hashem knows what He's doing. Our thoughts are not Hashem's thoughts. Our ways are not Hashem's ways. We can't figure out what Hashem does. All I know is if I listen to Hashem, everything will be okay. In the end, Kenalach, as we know, they came out of Mitzrayim, and they had money, and they had presents, and everything was okay. And Parai never married Sarai, and they came back to Eretz Canaan, and Avram had plenty of money, and everything was okay, and the hunger ended. The same thing by the Akedah of Yitzchak. In the end, he didn't have to kill his son. Whenever Avram listened to Hashem, everything worked out for the best. Many stories that Yankel used to tell his Kinderlach. He says, look, I told my Kinderlach these stories. I certainly have to myself live that way. The Baal Shem Tov told me to come to the Paretz. I am thrown in jail. I'm put in the dungeon. Okay. It's going to work out. Gamzul Ataiva. Yankel stayed in the dungeon. The time went. He was davening to Hashem, whatever he knew how to daven, whatever he knew Baal Peh, he said, Mishnayis. He thought all kinds of things. He tried to push out any not good thoughts and think only good things. He knows that tracht gut, wird sein gut, think good, it'll be good. But he couldn't help thinking about his family, his Kinderlach. What's going to happen if he never comes home, Chas v'Shalom? What will his wife do? What will the kiddies do? And the kiddies in the cheder who come to his house. In those days, the cheder was a room in the Rebbe's house. You came to his house and he taught you there. There wasn't like a separate building for yeshiva. The Kinderlach came to the Rebbe's house. What's going to happen when they come holding their chumash and their siddur and the Rebbe's not there? Who's going to teach them? But he tried to push out all these not good thoughts and he thought to himself, the Baal Shem Tev is the one who told me to come here. Somehow it's going to work out. Somehow, like the Baal Shem Tev said, Hashem is going to help. All right, please Hashem, please help me. He spent the time in there until the little light that was coming through the little hole up in the ceiling disappeared. He knew it must be the night time. And still he's waiting. And of course he's getting hungry. And he's getting colder because it was freezing in there anyway. And now at night time he got even colder. And it's completely quiet. Except for a little sound of little bugs crawling around. Or little other things running around. And he was getting very, very tired, but he didn't want to fall asleep on the floor like that. All of a sudden, Kenalach, Yankel started to hear noise. It sounded like footsteps. Somebody walking down the hall. He saw through the cracks in the door some kind of light that was shining. It must be that somebody has some kind of a fire, like a torch. He heard a few voices outside. There must be a few people outside. And he also heard a strange sound like wheels turning. The creaking of wheels turning, some kind of a wagon or something. And he heard all of these noises and he didn't know what is going on. All of a sudden he heard a sound of metal. like a key going into a lock, and the banging of chains. It must be that somebody's opening the lock on the outside of the door, outside of the thick door. And the door opened, and he saw in the fire of the torches, he saw a few faces, mean-looking faces. There were some big men and the pirate himself. And they had some kind of a wagon with a big pot, and there was a fire burning under the pot. Yankel thought, uh-oh, maybe they brought me supper to eat and I wouldn't eat it because it's not going to be kosher here. But he looked at the pot. It was a very thick metal pot. He never saw such a pot like that before. And the paretz comes into the jail, into the cell, into the room. And he says, Yankel, you said your name is Yankel, right? You're a teacher, right? You said from the children, okay. We brought you something over here to drink. A nice hot drink. You thirsty? Yankel says, no, I'm not really thirsty. Well, that's good. Because this kind of a drink, you don't drink when you're thirsty. So it's good you're not thirsty because the drink is not because you're thirsty. It's because you have to drink it. Whether you like it or not. Of course, you could choose to drink it or not to drink it. Maybe you're not going to like the drink we bring you. Now, Yankel didn't know what the poritz means, but the poritz brings the wagon close to Yankel, and he sees a very shiny kind of a thing boiling in the middle of the pot. And the poritz says, you see what this is in the pot? Boiling hot metal. Burning, boiling hot metal, boiling in this pot. We are going to open your mouth, and you're going to drink the boiling hot metal. Sounds good? Sounds delicious for you? All you have to do, open up the mouth, and you're going to drink the boiling hot metal. The uncle says, I don't think I want to do that. And the poet smiles, well, we didn't think you want to do that, so we brought a different thing for you to do if you don't want to do that. And the poet takes out from his coat a big tzelem. You'll see this tzelem, and on the tzelem in the middle was a getchka. Now, Yankel, just do this one little thing, and you won't have to have the drink. Bow down to this getchke. All you have to do, bow down, and you are going to bow down to this getchke. Then we wouldn't have to make you to drink the drink. That's simple. Either you bow down to the getchke, or you drink the drink. And now, let's go. Now, Kinalach, Yankel knew one thing. From all the stories he told in the Cheder, and from all he learned in the Torah, and I'll tell you, he wasn't a big Talmud Chachem, but one thing he knew, a Yid does not bow down to no getchke. And he says to the pirates, and he says to the men that are in his room, the mean men, he says, I don't care what's going to happen to me, because I'm a Yid, and I don't bow down to no getchke. So do whatever you're going to have to do. I will not bow down to your getchke. And the pirate said, okay, that's what you said you're going to do. Here we go. Get ready to drink our drink. And the men, the big men, went over and they took the big metal pot, and they poured the boiling hot metal into a thick metal cup. And the poet said, blindfold the Jew, wrap the black shmata over his eyes. And they took a black shmata and they tied it over his eyes that he shouldn't be able to see. And they tied his hands behind his back. He shouldn't be able to fight back. They tied his feet together. He shouldn't be able to run away. And the Paret said to Yankel, "Say your last words. We know that you Jews are always saying words. Say your last words before you drink. It probably would not be a bracha, that's for sure, on the drink. Because I don't know if you Jews have to make a bracha when you drink this kind of thing. But say your last words." And one thing Yankel knew, to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He had told stories to his kinderlach about Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, before one goes to Hashem. And kinderlach, he said, for the last time, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And he felt the big hands on his mouth, opening his mouth. And then he heard the Paret scream, "Pour the drink down his throat!" And he felt something warm going down his throat. And he swallowed.